the Son of Man was to be glorified. This was the Lord's agenda established for him. But how would this glorification take place? It comes through the actions that we recall during our Holy Week commemorations. But when that is revealed, we can see the confusion that these actions caused, even as they fulfilled what the Lord had foretold through his ancient prophets. Today's divine service began with the procession of the palms. And thinking about that event, which it resembled, the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, it appears that event might be the hour of glorification for Jesus. Remember the details that the gospel writer John shared with us. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." Being welcomed into the holy city by great crowds sounds like the height of glorification. And even Jesus' adversaries thought that way. As we heard, the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Those Pharisees could look at the multitude of people giving their acclamations to Jesus and referring to Jesus with messianic titles. The crowds receive Jesus like those who greet a returning champion or a liberator of their nation. And that is good and right. And yet, that entry into Jerusalem was not the hour of the Son of Man's glorification. We're given a clue about that with the interesting statement that was made in the middle of the Gospel of the Palms, where John tells us his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. Now, when heard only in light of the Palm Sunday account, this statement from John seems out of place. But it points to a great truth. Jesus' donkey ride into Jerusalem was a great entry, but it wasn't yet the time of his glorification. All that was said about Jesus would be fulfilled, but not all on that day. This is further laid out in today's gospel reading, where John presents the events that happened later that Sunday after Jesus entered Jerusalem. We were told about some of the people who were present there in the holy city, that among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. And these Greek people came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and they asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And so Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. This little detail that John gives us begins to confirm what the Pharisees had said about Jesus. Look, the world has gone after him. Jesus has the opportunity for an international audience to be seen by individuals who hail far from Judea. And this starts to foreshadow what Jesus' glorification would be. It's why, after hearing this, Jesus tells Andrew and Philip, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." With those words, Jesus begins to comment directly on what was about to take place. His presence in Jerusalem was to be the time for his glorification. It had not yet happened, despite all the pomp and circumstance of that palm parade. But that time wasn't far off. It would take place during that Passover festival, but it wouldn't be done in the way that many in Jerusalem thought. And that's what Jesus reveals with that short parable he tells about a grain of wheat being placed into the earth and dying. When that happens in real life, the one grain of wheat put into the ground produces a plant that bears numerous grains, way more than just the one that went into the ground. And this is referring to what Jesus' death would accomplish. But Jesus provides even more details about his sacrificial death than that short parable. He also then says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Thankfully, John, the gospel writer, supplies that helpful comment about Jesus' statement that he said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. For that points out that Jesus speaks of his crucifixion as being part of the hour of his glorification. That by undergoing this, Jesus starts to break the bonds that the ruler of this world had used to enslave humanity. And completion of that agenda of redemption, of deliverance, of salvation, is how Jesus will be glorified. But that agenda includes the humiliation that leads to his death. And this is the paradox that the events of Holy Week present to us. How can the arrest and the mocking and the trial and the torture and the death of someone be seen as a path to glorification? It seems nothing of the sort. And even more so when we consider the someone who is undergoing this. Why should such a fate befall a person without any guilt, without any fault? Hadn't this Jesus done so many signs before the people, including calling Lazarus out of the tomb and raising him from the dead? So how could such an individual be the target of a plot to take his life? But that's when we must consider Jesus' own words about the events of Holy Week. Jesus notes that what he would undergo is indeed troubling, yet it is essential to his identity, who he is, his role. It's why he says, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And we must also hold in mind what Jesus said about that period of time. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And these words point us to the necessity of these events that Jesus experiences. And these words also show us how we are to look at them and understand them. That Jesus' death is not a time of powerlessness. It is not a time of defeat, but just the opposite. As Jesus says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." This fuller understanding of these events is presented to us after everything that was assigned to Jesus is accomplished by him. Remember again that interesting statement from the Gospel of the Palms, that interesting statement that John inserted into his account, that his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. It's true that Peter and James and John and the others did not understand these events while they happened. But they would learn what they all meant when everything was fulfilled according to what the Lord had revealed in the scriptures about his Christ. And that fuller understanding is presented to us each Palm Sunday, every year that we commemorate that day and the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem to fulfill the purpose that his Father had sent him to complete. "Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is what the events of Holy Week show us, which is more than just Palm Sunday. It's an entire series of days which become the time of Jesus' glorification as all these events are completed. But even more so, these events also become the way of our own glorification. This is what Jesus promises when he speaks about what his death will achieve. When he talks about that grain of wheat being put into the earth and dying and bearing much fruit. For we are the fruit born by what Jesus experiences through the events of Holy Week. That these acts performed by him are done for our benefit, our salvation, our glorification. That's the purpose for which the Son of Man was sent into the world to fulfill. And what Jesus experiences in Holy Week then also becomes the pattern for our lives and how we are to understand our lives. Recall what Jesus said after speaking about his impending death. He said, "Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. And if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." These words of Jesus are to shape how we think of ourselves in this world. The actions that he performs bring us our salvation. We are drawn to him. We are united to him. We are brought into his kingdom. But then we can ask the questions. Does that bring us glorification now? Or are we faced with similar experiences like the ones Jesus endured? And as we think of those questions, we can identify how we are challenged while we follow the way of discipleship. Jesus instructs us that the path that he laid out in his own life is the pattern for our lives. And that includes enduring situations where we are not well loved by everyone. That being looked at oddly, or even being ostracized by others because of our beliefs, should be expected, anticipated. Because they challenge the ruler of this world and the order that ruler would establish. Following Jesus will also mean that we experience times when the desires of our sinful nature, or the desires of the world, or even the desires of Satan himself stand in opposition to the teachings that Jesus has presented to us as divine truth. And that there will be incidents when we could obtain the glory that comes from man, but obtaining that will only come if we forsake the glory that comes from God. And when we go through those times and experiences, then we share in the sufferings of Christ. And we are following him on the similar path that he himself walked. And we do so knowing that Jesus never directs his disciples to do something that he himself didn't do. Our discipleship is to be done according to Jesus' direction. That whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. And if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. And when that's done, we will be able to see these challenging times and experiences not as humiliation, but rather the path to our glorification. We are to measure them according to what Jesus has been given after his hour came, instead of evaluating them in the moment. For like Jesus, we can trust in the Lord who will fulfill his agenda. That the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free. And the glory and honor that the Father bestows to his Son will be shared with us. For our lives are meant to take us through sorrow and affliction to the joy of resurrection. The same path that Jesus himself walked. And that will be ours as we have this mind among ourselves. The mind which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.